Sister Sherry. I want to say before I begin today that based upon the vote given last week in the church's annual election, that I would like to accept the privilege offered to me to stay with you as your pastor. And I want to say this, and it's important, it's very important to me that you know this, and that you, it's important to me that you believe this, that I didn't make that decision on my own. I sought the Lord after much prayer, and after getting an answer of seeking Him time and time again for confirmation. And that's all that I can do is just seek the Lord and find out what that He wants to do. And so I want to say how humbled I am, and I appreciate that. And I want to ask for your prayers. I need your prayers. I have a desire to be a better pastor throughout the next year than I was in the past year. And I think that we all, we all need to seek to grow in the Lord. And so I ask for your prayers. I love every member of the church here. I hope that the Lord, and pray that the Lord can use me. I want to call your attention today to a scripture reading. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles and read along with me, I'd like to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 26, and I want to begin reading with verse 36, and going to read the account in the Gospel according to Matthew about the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and about the prayer that He offered up there. So in Matthew chapter 26, beginning with the 36th verse, it says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." Now, that's what we have recorded in the Scriptures concerning the words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ in this prayer. And it goes on in verse 40 and says, "And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away the second time and prayed, saying, O My Father, if this cup may not pass away from Me, except I drink it, Thy will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh He to His disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray Me." And that's reading from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46 for a scripture reading. And I would like to speak today about prayer. I would like to speak about the importance of prayer, the benefits of prayer, the accomplishments of prayer, all that prayer is able to do for us. And I would like to, in the beginning here, I would like to give thanks to the Lord that we have prayer. It's a great privilege that we have to be able to pray to the Lord. And, you know, it is the only way that we have, and I have said this many times, it's the only means that we have to talk to the Lord, isn't it? I mean, the only way that we have where we can communicate with God is through prayer. The Bible tells us that, and the Apostle Paul said, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And so he intercedes for us when we pray. That's what the Bible says about him, that he is now sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for our prayers. The Bible also tells us that the Holy Spirit is a great intercessor when we pray. The Spirit of God searches our hearts with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so we have help. We have divine help when we pray. But through prayer, we accomplish really more than one thing. Through prayer, we can do more than just make our requests known unto God. And certainly, we can do that. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And so, through prayer, we can accomplish that. We can bring our petitions before the Lord, the things that are weighing up on our heart and the desires of our heart. We can bring them to God's throne of grace through the great gift of prayer that God has given to us. But we also, through prayer, we also give God thanks. And we always should do that. You know, we should not just continue to ask the Lord for things without giving Him thanks for the things that He blesses us with. And so, as the Apostle Paul said here in that verse, that thanksgiving ought to also be always a very important part of our prayers. Now, you know, something that we do through prayer is when we pray that we don't only make a personal request of God, we don't only ask Him for help with the things that we would like for God to do for us, but we pray for the needs of others as well. And, you know, I've seen the church here at Fairview Memorial many times even come around the mourner's bench here, come to the altar for an altar prayer to pray for the special need of someone, maybe someone who was very ill or something like that. And I've seen the church gather here at times and offer up prayer to God in behalf of those who are lost. And so we intercede for others when we pray, and we seek the help of God and the blessings of God on others. So, you know, oftentimes when we pray, we do pray individually, as an individual. We do pray personally, and we do pray for something that we feel that we're in need of, but we also pray for others. You know, oftentimes when we pray, we have come to the realization that we are facing something that's bigger than we are. That we are facing something that perhaps where we realize that we are incapable within ourselves of coming to the right answer, or we realize that we need help, we need a strength that goes beyond what we possess. And I love what the 46th Psalm tells us in the first verse, that God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. And I'm also thankful that the Bible tells us that the ears of the Lord are attentive unto our prayers. And I'm very thankful, as I said earlier, for the promise that we have that the Lord Jesus Christ made to us when he said, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, we know that much of the world today, and actually much of the religious world today, has taken that way out of context because we understand from the teachings of God's Word that statement that Jesus made was talking about when we pray in the will of God, that He will give us, if we will trust Him, that He will grant to us our petitions. God is not going to give us things just because there's something that we want to have. James said that oftentimes that we pray and receive not because we ask amiss that we might consume it up on our own lust. But those things that we pray for within God's will and for the honor and glory of the Lord, I believe that if we will trust Him, that he will keep that promise that the Lord Jesus made to us, that whatever we would ask, that we would be recipients of that. And so, you know, it, as I said, it's a wonderful thing that we have this privilege and that we have this means of being able to talk to our Heavenly Father. And I believe in these verses that I have read, that when I read these, to me, it seems that we can really see the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ here. We can see that He was facing these things as a man, because we know that Jesus was God. He was God in the flesh. And but we see that not only in this example, but oftentimes that we read about Him in the Scriptures, we read that Jesus had a very active prayer life. And I mean, sometimes to the point that the Bible tells us that He would steal away and He would pray all night. And I'll tell you what, it would benefit us to follow that example, wouldn't it? If we could do that, if we could just steal away at times and just pray all night, I'll tell you what, the country is in need of that. This nation that we live in is in need of that. I hope today that we understand how desperate that the country that we live in today, how desperately that they are in prayers of the needs of the Lord's church, in prayer, in need of the prayers of God's people. And so we see here that Jesus was praying to God, and here He was making a personal request of Him. Now, if you look in the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John, you'll find a record there of a prayer that Jesus prayed not long before He went to the cross. And there He was praying to the Heavenly Father for His disciples. He was praying to God to keep them and to protect them and to sanctify them through His Word, through His truth. That was one of the things that He said in that prayer. He said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we can find, I believe it's perhaps in maybe the 12th chapter of John. I could be wrong about that chapter, but we find an account of Jesus telling the Apostle Peter. He said, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, then strengthen the brethren. When you are strengthened, then strengthen others also. And so we find the Lord Jesus oftentimes, as I said, praying for other people. And here he was making this request as he was about to face death on the cross. And we see that he had become, he was in a place where he had come to realize that it was very difficult for him. And he was facing something that was very hard. And, you know, we often do that in life. We often face things that are difficult. Now, nothing that we face is ever going to compare to what the Lord Jesus Christ faced. But we do face trials and we do face difficulties in life. And oftentimes we find ourselves, I believe, in situations where we just understand the great need that we have of turning to the Lord. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to make these statements, and I believe they're true. As God's people, we will never stay close to the Lord if we neglect prayer. We just will not walk close to the Lord if we don't pray. And we will never, we will not get the right answers to questions if we don't seek the will of the Lord. And you know, really, isn't that what's wrong in the world today? And isn't that what's wrong in the nation today, that everybody, it seems, is concerned about what seems right to them rather than what seems right to God, what is really right according to the word of the Lord? And so through prayer, we can come to the right place. Through prayer, we can reach and we can find the right answer to things if we will put our trust in the Lord. We can find strength. Now, I want to ask you this. I don't generally ask anything like this, but if you have found this to be true, I want you to say amen to it. We can find strength in the Lord through prayer. We find ourselves oftentimes in a very weakened state. We find ourselves oftentimes when we realize that we're just not sufficient for the trial that is ahead of us. Jesus here was finding it obviously difficult to deal with what he realized that he was about to face. Now he knew, the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew that this had to be done in order for man to have a way of salvation. He had already made that known before this had ever taken place. If you look in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He knew that. He knew that he was the one that would have to give his life in order for people to be saved. But that didn't make it easy. That didn't make it easy for him to do. And so we find him here praying for strength, praying to his heavenly Father to help him. And he said in verse 39, if you can envision such a thing, if you can even somewhat envision this, he said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And then in that same statement, he gives way to the will of God. It's important that we pray for God's will, isn't it? He gives way to the will of God. "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And that's what's really important. It's not what you want, and it's not what I want. It's what God wants. And it's not what you think and what I think. It's what God says that's important. And so he was praying to God to help him. "Oh, Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. How many times and how often do we pray for something? And I said earlier in the reading that I wanted you to pay attention to what we're told here, that Jesus went three times and he prayed about the same matter. And the Bible told us there that he prayed the third time saying the same words. And I have heard people say that if you pray about something and then you go to God and you pray about the same thing again, that it means that you didn't have faith in the Lord to answer that prayer the first time you ask him. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that when we have a matter before us, that we ought to be willing to pray and pray and pray and pray until God gives the answer. Elijah did that, didn't he? When he was up on that mountain and he had heard, he said he had heard the sound of abundance of rain, and he went up there to Mount Carmel and he got down on his knees to pray, and he sent his servant around the mountain there to see if he could see any sign of rain, and he came back and he hadn't seen anything, and Elijah said, go again seven times. What do you suppose the old prophet was doing while that man kept going around there looking for a sign of rain? I believe he was in the same position that he was when he first knelt down. I believe that he was down on the ground with his face down between his knees, and he was petitioning God over and over. And finally, that man came back around. He said, well, I see just a little cloud there about the size of a man's hand. And that was enough for Elijah, wasn't it? He said, we better get out of here. It's going to rain. You know, this changed the words that Jesus was saying here, as the Bible tells us, were the same words that he continued to pray, but there was a change that took place. It's not recorded in the gospel according to Matthew, but it is recorded in the gospel according to Luke. The Bible tells us, as Jesus was praying this prayer, that he had said these words. You look in the 22nd chapter of Luke, I believe around verse 42, and you'll see this, that Jesus had prayed these words, and then the angels came and strengthened him. And the Bible says, being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. More earnestly. Now, even the Lord Jesus Christ prayed about something more earnestly, the Bible tells us, than he had been before. And I believe that God has allowed us to experience that in our own prayer life. You know, we begin to pray about something and then it really gets a hold of us. I mean, it really takes hold of our heart. And by the help of God, we are able to pray more earnestly. I want to say this today to anybody that's here that's lost and without God. If you have been praying for the salvation of your soul, don't stop. If you've been praying and you haven't yet been saved, don't stop seeking the Lord. Pray more earnestly that God will save you. The Lord prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, I said here that Jesus was making a personal request in this prayer, and he was. He was praying that God would strengthen him, and he was praying that God would help him, and he was praying that God would help him to resolve his will to the Father's will. But when he was praying to God for these things, he was doing that for us. He was doing that for us, that God may help him to go to the cross, that God may help him to give his life as a ransom for our sins, that God may strengthen him to carry out the one and only plan that God had made for fallen man to be redeemed. It was for our benefit. This prayer, whenever we read about this, whenever we think about this, it ought to mean a great deal to us that Jesus was there and he was praying. Praying for God to help him, that his will would align with that of the Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, he said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere without wrath, lifting up, I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We've got to trust the Lord, don't we? You know, listen, if we're praying and doubting, we're not getting anywhere. If we're praying and asking God to do something and saying, I know you're not going to do it, we're not getting anywhere. We are to pray to God, trusting and believing not only that he can do what we ask of him, but trusting that he will do what we ask of him. And listen, I believe that if you're going to be saved, you're not going to be able to believe only that God can do that, that God has the ability to that. You're going to have to trust him to save you. You're going to have to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they say so much today. People say so much today. They say that they've taken prayer out of schools. They've taken prayer out of Congress. They've taken prayer out of this and they've taken prayer out of that. And you know, listen, there may have been formal decisions that have been made. There may have been rules that have been passed in the public schools. There may have been rules that have been passed by Congress or many other deliberative or legislative bodies. But I'm going to tell you what. Nobody can take prayer out of the schools unless we just stop praying. That's it. Nobody can take prayer out of government unless we just stop praying. And I believe that we have a great example of that in the scriptures when there had been a decree there under the reign of Darius. There had been a decree made. You read about it in the sixth chapter of Daniel. There had been a decree made that for 30 days, nobody was to ask any petition of their God. And it didn't stop Daniel at all. The Bible says when he knew the decree was signed, that he went to his upper chamber and he just prayed as he had aforetime. He just prayed like he had been praying. He just kept on praying. And they took him and they, the penalty for that was they took him and they cast him into a den of lions. And I'm going to tell you that I believe that Daniel prayed in the den of lions. That he kept praying. He continued to pray. And Darius found out the next morning that God had delivered him from the lions. Jonah prayed in the belly of a fish. Don't tell me you can't pray anywhere. This man prayed in the belly of a fish, down below the water with the seaweeds around him. He prayed to God. And God heard him out of the belly of a fish. Oh, God can hear our prayers from anywhere. From anywhere. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God is a God hearing and God answering? God, that He hears our prayers, that He answers our prayers, and thank Him today for the privilege of prayer. Thankful that Jesus set an example for us of prayer. And you know what? You want to read a beautiful prayer? Go read in the first chapter of 1 Samuel and go read Hannah's prayer. What a beautiful prayer. And what a beautiful description that she gives of prayer. When Eli the priest saw her and her lips moving but nothing coming out, couldn't hear anything, and even thought that she had got into the liquor, even thought that she was drunk, and she said, Lord, I'm not drunk. I've drank neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Could you really get a better explanation of prayer than that? The pouring out of your soul unto the Lord. I appreciate your attention today. May we continue in prayer and supplication and giving of thanks. And let me tell you this. When you realize, I believe at times, as we all do, when you realize that prayer, your prayer life is not what it ought to be, you know what the best thing to do about it is? Pray about it. Pray about it. Turn to the Lord and pray. You know, as we approach, if God is willing, as we approach another year, we certainly don't need to pray less. We need to pray more. We need to seek the face of God more. And I'd like to ask Brother Strode if he would to lead us in a song. And I'm going to say this. If you've got anything on your heart today that you need to pray about, come and pray. If you need to come today and pray for the salvation of your soul, and I'm going to say this to anybody that's lost, you're never going to get saved without praying. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you may not have to bow at a mourner's bench. You may not, it may not happen to you in a church service, but I'll tell you what, before you get saved, you're going to pray. You're going to call upon the name of the Lord. Those are the ones who get saved. And so if you need to pray today for the salvation of your soul, come and pray. If you've already been saved and there's something in your life that you need to pray about, come and pray. God can hear each of us individually when we pray. So let's stand and sing.
Number 15. I need the prayers of those I love while trembling o'er life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to Him, that He may keep me by His power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up on wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, kept by our Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
Above everything.